Hello and welcome to another episode of Music's on the Menu. I am one of your hosts, Alex Bird. Joined alongside me,
Hugh Dana.
Is Hugh Dana. And we are coming to you live from the traditional and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nation peoples at the UBC Vancouver campus. A campus which is currently inaccessible to a large part of its student population due to organized labor disputes. But we managed to make it, regardless, despite that. So, Hugh, how's your Monday been?
Not too bad. I haven't really had to do anything because of organized labor disputes. Listened to a lot of music today. So, I'm ready to...
You want to get a bit closer to the microphone?
I'll get a bit closer to the microphone. Anyways, last week, we upped our feelings on records from 2023. This week, we'll actually dive in and dissect some music that's come out this year.
Yeah.
And I think we both agree we'll start with what is probably the biggest release in the 22 days that are 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And that is 21 Savage's third studio album, American Dream.
Yeah, his third solo album release.
Yeah, his third solo studio record. Five years after I Am Greater Than I Was.
Yeah.
2 years after Her Loss.
Mm-hmm.
With Drizzy Drake.
Savage Mode 2 fits into there somewhere as well.
In 2020.
Yep. And, yeah, so I guess, how do we start these things?
Expectations.
I think, didn't you say, like, at 8:59 p.m. on Thursday night before the album came out that you were like, this thing's going to be pretty mediocre, isn't it?
Yeah. And, yeah, maybe I should start with my expectations. So, I'm not the largest 21 Savage fan. I actually really liked him on Her Loss. Outside of Drake, I thought he carried himself totally fine. I didn't think he was a weak link on any of the songs. He did get less. He only got about 30% of the album. But I thought when he was there, he was really good. And I Am Greater Than I was like 6 years ago. That was like the middle of high school. And that was an album that I thought was really good at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really listen to it that much just because as so much music used to drop back then, it feels like. And I thought Savage Mode 2 was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Metro Boomin doesn't really do anything stupid. But I just felt like I just didn't have that great of expectations for 21 Savage coming into this record. I thought that just maybe because the state of rap is kind of in a place where it's never been, where it's kind of just the top tier guys and then there's really nobody else. Maybe mm-hmm. Baby Keem is floating in there somewhere. And I was like, well, I just don't know what to expect from him. And my expectations were fully blown away. If we really want to get into it, we can get into it right now. But I mean, this is a really well put together album. Just from the rapping from his part, there's some pretty awesome bars talking about living on the toilet because he's always on his stuff. Like the rapping is really good. From like the feature choices are varied. It's not just like him and Travis and Drake and Gunna and Lil Baby. There's people from all over the musical spectrum, which I just always think makes an album better when you get voices and kind of musical ears from different sides of the musical world. The production, I thought, it was way more varied than I expected. And even like where he put the sample, like it was just, I didn't expect him to release such a well put together album. I feel like this is way better put together than I Am Greater Than I Was. And I thought that was good when it came out. I really liked I Am Greater Than I Was. But just top to bottom, this just feels like a album from a rapper who is fully in his bag. I guess I underestimated 21 Savage. This is like an album from an A-tier rapper or mm-hmm. just like a really good rapper who is here to stay. And I guess I've just been underestimating him because this is a great body of just musical work, not even rap, just like everything put together. It's just really well made.
Yeah, I have similar opinions as to Hugh, as he just mentioned on 21's two sort of prior major releases, I Am Greater Than I Was and Savage Mode 2. I Am Greater Than I Was is an album that just, for me, I hold it in still like very high esteem because it's the album that got me into this person who's become one of my favorite rappers. And I think it was a nice like mix of conscious and unconsciousness. Conscious and unconscious rap, I think, from 21 Savage, which is always cool when you hear a guy that usually doesn't get introspective to get introspective, and I really valued that on I Am Greater Than I Was. Savage Mode 2 is also very, very good. Probably a little more consistent than I Am Greater Than I Was, though, like, with a higher floor, although, like, a slightly lower ceiling, just because a lot is such a high bar for me. For the opening track on that, on the 2018 album. And then, yeah, for this, I was similarly feeling like it was going to be kind of mediocre too going into it.
Why?
Because, or again, just like kind of skeptical, kind of questionable. Because, mainly because just his recent features have all been quite stale. Like on Utopia, that song, Topia Twins, is one of the weakest links on Utopia. And the song on For All the Dogs that he was on.
You can barely even get to him.
You can.
I forgot he's even on that song.
Yeah. That song's not great, in my opinion. And again, his verse was just kind of like, we have to have 21 here because it's a Drake album, so he's got to be here. Though, maybe it would have been better if he didn't. Because, again, I just didn't think he brought anything. And so...
Just like a standard 21.
Just 21 by the numbers. And so with this album, going off of that, what I'd heard from him recently, I was a little like, ugh. And then it comes out, and the combination of this album and Utopia as well from Travis Scott has made me realize that you shouldn't use features as your way to gauge expectations for somebody's solo work. Because
it's really hard to do, though.
It's hard to do that because it's when you hear them, but
and features are such a huge part of hip hop that I mean maybe we used to hold features in a higher regard than we should have.
No, because a great feature can also make an artist great and notable. So
like Don Toliver.
Yeah, like Don Toliver. So you can't undervalue the feature or features as a whole are what they are. Like, I don't think this says that. I don't think what I'm trying to say is like that features are like we shouldn't take them seriously, but it's for like, but it's what am I? But it like this album is just a lot better than any of his features were lately. Same with Utopia and Travis, and so sometimes guys just save their best work for their solo stuff, and that's the lesson here. But yeah, getting into like the actual album itself.
Maybe that's a conversation we should have on the
how to evaluate features.
Yeah, just discussing features.
Yeah,
because this it does seem like a pattern that the top dudes in hip hop are kind of asleep at the wheel on features, and then like this is like you said, this is like the third hip hop album in the row where I was like, oh no, like what's 21 Savage gonna do? And then you realize that they're still amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, maybe that's a whole nother conversation worth diving into. But
yeah, I think my overall verdict from this album, American Dream, is that I think like he's just good. Like 21's just a good rapper at this point, and he's like fully at this point like very established, just as a good solid rapper in the mainstream, and just one of the biggest and best names at the right now. God, I'm stumbling over my words. What else was I gonna say? I was gonna add on another thing. But what this album does also, what this album also is though, is that it's not. It's just kind of like more. It's not a lot of difference. Like it's not like this album takes 21 Savage to another level. In my opinion, I think this just kind of reaffirms his prior position. Like, it's not an upgrade. It's not like significantly better than anything. It's not significantly worse than anything. We're just kind of at like a plateau with this record.
But I think that's a conversation worth having, is how consistent 21 Savage has become. Mm-hmm. Because as talk about the next record later today, which I thought kind of fell flat, we'll get into that later. I think 21 Savage is, I mean, I just think maybe I've just perennially underrated 21 Savage. Maybe it's because like his early hits were kind of goofy songs. Like, I mean, I got into 21 Savage 3 years before you, and like the songs that like got me into 21 Savage were like those super deep, like I shot all those people and my friend died, and yeah, when we all thought 21 Savage was like this crazy guy. And just the consistency from there has, I think, is something really worth noting. I just wanted to add that.
Yeah. Cause like this album isn't, this album also, again, like fits into the ongoing thread we have of like switching up style versus staying the same and blah, blah, blah. Like, this album fundamentally isn't anything different than anything else he's ever come up with ever.
Why is that?
Because it's still about violence predominantly, about putting snitches in the dirt, about...
Only on some songs.
Yeah, but still...
I think that he builds on what he did in I Am Greater Than I Was. I think what impressed me the most about this album over I Am Greater Than I Was is it feels like he's really expanded creatively, and it feels like now there's a song that a larger spectrum of music fans can like. Like, he has Saw You, like You Should Have Wore a Bonnet. He also has Sneaky. He also has Red Rum and Dangerous for people who like that. He has Letter to My Brother, Dark Days, See the Real for those people. And that's something that I did not think 21 Savage, one, cared about or had the foresight to do and then could pull it off. Mm. And I think that you're right. He always talks about shooting people and snitches, but he expanded on kind of that internal thing that was really apparent on I Am Greater Than I Was, like in Dark Days and Letter to My Brother and the very last song, which I'm forgetting. It might be Dark Days, actually.
That's Dark Days.
Which is like him really, like actually rapping about something that really matters, which is, like he says in the song, it's not easy to do. It's harder to do that than talk about shooting someone.
Yeah.
And he also talks about kind of greater feelings than just attachment on some of the songs, like in the song with Brent Faiyaz. Maybe that's because that's with Brent Faiyaz, but that's something that I just wanted to mention, was that I thought that he kind of expanded the sound that he has. I think he did a really good job of expanding that sound in ways that he hadn't before.
Yeah, no, you are correct. Like the R&B crossovers with people like Burna Boy and Summer Walker, Brent Faiyaz, Mariah the Scientist, all go over really well on the album, and there is like a nice amount of like just nice vocal sampling on some of the darker songs as well, which helps give them a bit of lightness a bit too. But still, I feel like though, like by and large, like it's similar flows, pretty similar topics, still pretty like similar beats as well. Like it's still like what you would expect to hear on a 21 Savage album, but he's just gotten so good at doing this thing that it kind of doesn't matter.
I have to agree.
Because the amount of different ways he can come up with talking about like similar ideas is kind of impressive at this point.
And
like
it's the line, all good too.
Yeah, like the line, it's going to be a hearse, not a verse if I diss you. Like that's, again, like similar sort of topical stuff, that similar topics that you hear across all his work, but just a new way of expressing that idea.
I mean, and another thing is,
and it's
that,
catchy.
Exactly. Is that more so on this record than any other 21 Savage, is that all of it's catchy now. Like the song with Lil Durk, when I saw that, I was like, oh no, like that could go a million different ways. That is one of the better songs on the record.
Mm-hmm.
Like I guess it just comes with being in the game and maybe being around Drake and Metro Boomin, guys who are really, really at the top of the game. Like, everything is good now. like, not just the rapping, but the melodies are good. The choruses are good. And it didn't used to be that way for 21 Savage.
Mm-hmm.
You have a song like Bank Account.
Yeah.
Which is, like, kind of monotonous. I remember I played it for my dad, and he couldn't believe that it was number one.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, I don't know if the bar is low there, but it's nothing, like, that easy to make. Like, everything, like Red Rum, it's just, he says the same thing over and over again, but how he gets into it is catchier than I thought it was ever going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I just,
immediately on Red Rum, from the first line, you can already kind of foresee the rhyme scheme that's going to get you to the Red Rum yeah. chorus.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this is a tale of we just forgot about how good he was by himself, because he did wait 6 years for individual records, and maybe this is a thing people do.
I don't think I forgot how good he can be.
I sure did. I just didn't think it was going to be this complete.
Cause,
the floor is so high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the floor on Savage Mode 2 is really high as
but
well.
But that's Metro Boomin. So I give half of that to Metro Boomin.
Metro's on this album a bunch too.
Mm-hmm, but this one is not fully curated by Metro Boomin.
Okay.
And all of my favorite songs don't have Metro Boomin.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean anything. Like, yeah. Obviously Metro Boomin is a legend at this point, and yeah. Metro Boomin doesn't, like, if you see Metro Boomin on a song, you can pretty much guarantee that it's going to be really good. And maybe because of that, I didn't give 21 the, because Savage Mode 2 is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a really good rap album. There's no, like, what 21 Savage has got to the point where you can guarantee the floor is going to be really high.
Yeah.
What you don't know and what you had said is, like, where is the ceiling going to be? And the ceiling is way higher than I would have ever expected on this record. And I feel like we keep coming in here and I keep saying that, but, like, I'm just really shocked by how good every single song is on this record.
How about we talk about some in specific then? Like,
I mean, give me your top three.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
I can give you mine.
Nina with Travis Scott and Metro Boomin is one of them. Travis Scott's got a really great feature on that song. Comes in, just no auto-tune, just, like, strictly rapping. Also the beat, like, there's just, like, this, I don't really know how to describe the sound in the background of the beat, but it's kind of like you left your freezer open, there was a freezer in the studio and they left it open ajar and it was the whole time, because it kind of sounded like that, and I thought that's just, like, a nice sound, even though it's not a nice sound.
Nina's your favorite song.
Nina's one, I don't know if I can really have a ranking yet, but Nina's one of them. Dark Days is one of them as well, because it's, introspective 21, talking about, like, yeah, a lot of the songs, you know, I'm talking about violence and gangs and stuff, but actually, like, don't do this.
Yeah.
This is just more me getting stuff off my chest than encouraging you to do it.
I really like that, where he was like, I understand the consequences and you don't, and mm-hmm. I'm telling you not to do this. And that's something that is something, like, again, I guess I just place 21 in this box where he's just like, and maybe it's because of what 21 Savage was for me, which was, like, the Atlanta gangster rapper. Like, this mm-hmm. guy was in the trenches. He'd been shot, like, 7 times. He had shot a bunch of people. And every time I hear 21 Savage come in and be introspective, I'm like, well, I always get blown away. I guess I'd need to start listening to more 21 Savage.
And then,
but I agree, Nina's really good.
Yeah, I don't know if it's one of my favorites, but I just want to mention NHIE. I don't know if it's top three for me. NHIE, I forget what that's actually supposed to stand for. It's something that isn't explicit, but I just don't remember. NHIE with Doja Cat is pretty good, too. I like Doja Cat's, like, very breathy kind of ad-libbing at the start. Along the 21 Savage
Never
verse. Never Have I Ever. Yeah. Goes over really well. And I like that her ad-libs during her verse are just the word ad-lib. Because that's just, I don't know, that's just funny to
you
me.
You like Doja Cat? We didn't talk about the other Doja Cat record.
No, I didn't.
Which I didn't. I thought was actually kind of bad.
When we were listening to that together, like, the Rage songs were just kind of grating. But she's really good on this album. I think she's good on her feature.
I agree. She's really good.
And it's nice to have, like, just a higher pitched, feminine voice on on an album with an artist whose voice is so deep and the topics and all that's usually so dark. So it's nice to have sort of the contrast of her voice in there too. So, and then for the weakest link, in my opinion, on this album is Pop Your Stuff with Young Thug. Primarily because Young Thug's verse is kind of incoherent because a lot of it
is literally redacted.
Is redacted, presumably because of ongoing criminal charges against Jeffrey Williams.
Free slam.
No.
We don't condone any of that.
This is live radio. We can't say that. And so because of the redactedness, and it's also more incoherent than acceptable for Young Thug incoherence, that it's the weakest song on the album.
I agree. I think it's also 21's worst performance.
Oh yeah. He's not great on it either. Like the chorus, the poop. I don't like poop bars. Why do people do poop bars?
I was like, is that what he actually said?
Yeah, he's talking about it smells like gas. I think somebody poop is the.
He's got a good poop bar at the end of the record though.
but yeah,
I have to agree that is probably the weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite by quite a ways is See the Real. I love that beat. That's one of those songs that I think non-rap people would really like because the beat is so melodic and he's really good on it. See the Real is my favorite. One of my favorite 21 songs maybe ever. Mm. I really like what he does. Should Have Wore Your Bonnet. Those one and two for me, those ones are pretty obvious. I really like the instrumental and the production on Should Have Wore Your Bonnet. Like there's like some airy keys and then there's like a really hard hitting 808 randomly some places.
Yeah, like the second verse that comes in.
Kind of sounds like it's like classic Brent production, which is always like kind of varied and all over the place and has you guessing. And I think 21 and him together are really good. That's one of the better choruses maybe I've ever heard from him.
Mm-hmm.
And not the intro track for me, not American Dream, but All of Me is probably my third favorite.
Yeah.
I think that he is really spitting on that song.
Mm-hmm.
I think the weakest link is Pop Your Poop, but my least favorite, and this is maybe just because I don't like that, I think Sneaky's my least favorite. Like, that's a song that if it came on, I'd probably skip. I know that it's like for a demographic and live, it would probably be really lit, but that one's probably my least favorite.
I enjoy Sneaky. I have no quarrel with Sneaky. Pop Your Stuff.
That's your least favorite?
Yeah.
So should we play Nina?
I was thinking
there is a clean version of the album.
No,
so
yeah,
everything's
there
on
is,
the table.
There is. I mean, I was thinking about Dark Days.
All
right. I was thinking. I feel like Dark Days would sound good.
All right. This is Dark Days, so we'll play Dark Days.
Mm-hmm.
This is the outro track, which usually means something. Usually, yeah. Outro tracks are better than the track before it.
Mm-hmm.
This is Dark Days by 21 Savage featuring Mariah the Scientist off of his third studio album, American Dream.
Got the fame and fortune that I prayed for. Who would have thought I would emerge from all that gun smoke? This for all the teenagers that want a gun tote, cause they cheaper in the hood than in the gun store. You gon' lose a lot of your friends and that's what hurt the most. You can't do nothing but reminisce about y'all cracking jokes. You feeling like nobody love you, I know how that go. You gotta love yourself, look, that's gonna help you glow. I know it might sound lame, but just stay in school. They got a place that they put people who don't follow rules. You probably got your mama scared, don't wanna watch the news. Ready to risk your life and freedom for a pair of shoes. Yeah, you say you love your switch, but they don't love you back. You can hug that block all night, it ain't gonna hug you back. Some of your friends gonna reincarnate and come back as rats. And at your candlelight, they ain't gonna give your mama jack. Now your brother kids asking where they daddy at. So you gotta lie and tell him he just took a nap.
Damn.
You done failed in the street, so now you trying to rap. But that ain't really working for you, so it's back to trap.
Damn. When it's all said and done, dog stretched out. And watch him struggle trying to let his last breath out. You don't want to do it, but you lost some real that you got to step out. One more seat left in the car, you got to help out. Stressed out,
yeah.
Probably why I tell the kids to put the guns down. Gangster, but I still cry with nobody around. Trying to numb the pain, drinking bottles till I drown. Never do no, but I'd be lying if I said it haven't crossed my mind. I hurt on the inside and I still act like I'm fine. Why the judge give my pile all that time? Heard they locking up for what they put in rhymes. Standing on it, I'm still writing mines. This what growth look like, no more committing crimes. I stayed out the way and made a way for us to grind.
21. MRG Live is pleased to present the legendary DJ Shadow live at the Vogue Theater on January 23rd. Don't miss your chance to catch this pioneering producer performing music from his latest release, Action Adventure, alongside his rich 3-decade-long catalog, which includes collaborations with artists such as Run the Jewels, Nas, and De La Soul, among others. For tickets, head to admitone.com and search for DJ Shadow.
Hey there! Do you like sweet and sentimental stories and songs?
Do you enjoy a pleasant chat and a giggle with pals? Then you're gonna love our show, Love Notes, here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Every week, a new guest selects a great love of their life, a sibling, a romantic partner, a best friend, and we get to make a show about the stories and songs that make up their love.
Join us on this journey for the ears and the heart every other Tuesday at 10 a.m.
And we're back, and we are back, and we are back from, Dark Days.
Yeah.
By 21 featuring Mariah the Scientist.
I forgot how good that song was.
Yeah, man.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, dude. As we've been saying about all that stuff.
We did skip the outro.
Yeah. The outro is a nice inclusion. The intro track to the song and the outro both feature 21 Savage's mom speaking on her feelings as a parent and her son's development and growth as a man.
Where is she from? Well,
his family's from England, right?
Yeah.
There's the whole he doesn't have a visa thing.
He is a British American.
Mm-hmm. No, I think he was born in London, if memory serves.
No, he's born in Atlanta. He's born in Georgia.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. His family's from the UK. His mom's got a British accent in the beginning and the end. So yeah, and so now we are on to our second topic of the day, one that will probably feature a little bit less praise than this last section did, talking about Kid Cudi's album, Insano.
Yeah, this is Kid Cudi's 9th studio album, I guess if we're counting Intergalactic, which kind of... Oh, I mean, also we probably should mention that the 21 album kind of is paired with his film.
Yeah, like Donald Glover is playing him in a movie about his life.
It kind of looks like an SNL skit, but
clearly it's not.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that album is also supposed to be a soundtrack, which we failed to mention, but it doesn't really matter for the purposes of just casually listening to it.
Exactly.
So,
anyways, this is Kid Cudi's 9th studio album, his first since Man on the Moon 3, which was
pretty good album.
Yeah, I thought that album was awesome. That came out like right as the pandemic, or maybe right before the pandemic. It was in 2020.
Came out December 11th, 2020.
Okay, so we were way into it.
We were settled into the pandemic by then.
Yeah. And this is Kid Cudi's 9th studio album. His first, his first release in 4 years. And now, before we say anything, I think that it's important to say that the trajectory of hip hop would have been far different in a negative way if Kid Cudi doesn't make the kind of music that Kid Cudi was making when he first came out.
Absolutely.
That sulking, hyper introspective, kind of the only thing he talks about is kind of his perception of everything. And a lot of people are like, Kid Cudi saved my life. And mm-hmm. like, very likely, maybe.
Yeah.
He's kind of the first mainstream rapper to say, I suffer from all of these. Mm-hmm. And these all really, really negatively affect my life, and money doesn't change that.
Yeah.
This album is nothing like that. First, he has DJ Drama come in and say, and it's cool. DJ Drama is cool. He was really fun on
Call Me If You Get Lost.
Exactly. He's not really doing the same thing here.
He's doing similar things, but just not as much.
No, and he kind of comes in at the beginning, and he's like, life is good. And I literally like that life is good for Kid Cudi,
mm-hmm.
but I really, and like maybe that, and I'm not going to one of those people where if Juice WRLD posts with his girlfriends, I comment break up with him so that he goes and makes sad music that's better than like happy music or whatever. But I just don't see the vision with this album, and it's not because he's happy or whatever. Cudi is someone who historically will experiment with his sound.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, it's not really been great. I mean,
what do you mean, man? Speeding Bullet to Heaven. Speeding Bullet to Heaven is the album of the year.
It's kind
of
really polarizing.
What do you mean, man? That was the best rap album in 2015.
That's not a rap album. Best, it's like a rock and roll album.
I know. Best album put out by a rapper in 2015.
Did that win a Grammy or something?
No, it's the same year that To Pimp a Butterfly came out.
Oh, that's my joke. Oh, okay. Well, like Speeding Bullet to Heaven just is kind of really incoherent. I just don't really get the vision with this one. The production is like not his staple sound. It feels like kind of like an attempt to sound more contemporary, like more like airy. Like the beats don't sound like Kid Cudi beats to me. And not to say the instrumentation is poor, because Kid Cudi's not gonna let it be bad. Like
I feel like the main instrument that I think about when I think about the instrumentals on this album is like a lot of fat 808s.
Yeah.
It's kind of the main thing. And then he uses a lot of the vocoder as well to change his voice.
And I'm never really a fan of that.
I think that can be fine. I just think it doesn't go over that well here.
This album just doesn't really work.
Sorry, I'm cutting you off.
No. I want your opinion.
A lot of it to me feels kind of like muddy.
Yeah, it feels incoherent.
Yeah.
It feels incoherent. His performance with, like, to me, it's like Kid Cudi still rapping, like his kind of off the beaten path, eclectic way, but on these kind of formulaic, like poppy trap beats. And it just doesn't really work for me. Like, there's some songs where he comes on and his flow is just doesn't really work with the beat at all for me. And granted, the album is called Insano. Maybe the entire thing is meant to be fully incoherent, fully eclectic. That would be cool, but it doesn't work for me. Like, I don't really get
the vision. If you're going to do that, you got to do it well.
Yeah, you got to do it. And I mean, the feature with X is cool, honestly.
Yeah, that's
like a real piece of music that's not like gargly from X.
Mm-hmm.
That actually still sounds really good, and he's still really good on it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the better songs.
I have
here.
To agree. It's the one but with. I mean, I don't. This just it, for me, this was a really hard listen. Kid Cudi's voice to me is always kind of hard because it's kind of monotonous sometimes. It's kind of like in this one space that is kind of an odd space. And I just don't think it works with these beats. I don't think that there's any strong melodies, really. I just don't get the vision here. I mean, it like I just don't, yeah, like I just don't really see the vision.
Yeah, I'm not as down on this maybe as you are. It's just like most of it is fine. Like it's fine when it's on, but there's not a whole lot that really draws me back in. I think like what am I trying to say? Yeah, there's just not like a whole lot that really draws me back in. And then you've got like Electro Wavy Baby is a song that's got a pretty cool beat, but topically kind of incoherent. A lot of like na 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 na's going on.
Yeah, the topics are very, very un-Kid Cudi as well.
Well, and then there's Tortured, which is a very Kid Cudi song.
And that's one of the better songs, though.
Yeah, it is. But that's also just kind of standard pre-packaged Kid Cudi song that he's been making since 2009.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with making that. And like, that's a good sound. That always, yeah. There is always a time and place where Kid Cudi absolutely enhances the environment. None of this hits like that. This just, like, this is clearly him trying to do something. Because, like, you wouldn't make, like, this is, like, sonically, this is a pretty coherent, like, it all kind of sounds similar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, front to top, like, there's nothing that suddenly goes way off the beaten path and is just, like, this giant swell of orchestral sounds. It's all, like, this kind of, like, just, like, standard, like, hip-hop-y, like, pretty, like, light instrumentation. And it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I just, like, and I'm someone who thinks Kid Cudi is, like, creatively damn near a genius. Kid See Ghost is unbelievable. Yeah. And Man on the Moon 1, 2, and 3 are all fantastic. That's one of the best, like, trilogies musically that I can think of right now.
Mm-hmm.
But this just doesn't make any sense to me. This is similar to Speeding Bullet. And then the album right after Speeding Bullet is like the demon. I think it's like Slaying Demons or whatever.
Passion, Pain,
and Demon is like one of my favorite Kid Cudi albums. So to me, I have to respect him for trying something fully new and maybe purposely incoherent. But I just don't see it here. I don't see the vision. It's not something that sticks with me. There are a few songs I really liked Yachty's performance. I thought, again, Yachty was really good on a feature.
Too Damn High.
Yeah, we mentioned he was good on a feature.
I think we're talking about For All the Dogs, probably. It's kind of what it had to have been. Oh,
maybe.
Because what other Yachty features have there been recently?
Mm-hmm.
At the Party with Pharrell and Travis Scott. It's pretty good.
I think that's a bad song.
I like Pharrell on that song. I like Pharrell's voice. Despite it being like Pharrell production, the beat
it's
is pretty
thin.
Fits in with everything else. Yeah. Also, just
I felt that song was just a little too repetitive,
okay.
and it wasn't. I mean, I didn't like that one.
Also, just another thought that I have is like the DJ drama inclusion just kind of makes no sense to me because there's not. A whole like he made sense on Call Me If You Get Lost, for example, as like being the DJ in the background, the hype man for the album, coming in at every point and hyping it up, because that was an album that was pretty hyped, especially at the start with coming out with like some bangers, and then also
and that's
just
also something no one ever did.
Also, just a really good album that deserves to be hyped up throughout the runtime of it. But there's nothing.
And it was new back then. I do not remember where there was like this voice that kept coming in at the beginning, and sometimes he would just say like, "Hey, Miss Parker," or just say random things.
I don't know if that's. I don't think that's. New,
I just
though.
Can't think of one.
I don't think that's something that's really been a product of the 2010s, but I think that's just a kind of a thing with hip hop as just historically as a genre. I think that's part of it. But yeah, there's just kind of nothing here that merits DJ drama hyping up or being like, oh, he's about to go in. because it's all kind of like, yeah, kind of muddy and down, and it's nothing. There's not a whole lot that's like bright and merits having a hype man.
The Too Damn High beat sounds like a play by Cardi beat. And it's like kind of the one deviation from sonically from the rest of the album, and I think it's pretty good.
Also, Blue Sky is a
that song is good.
Deviation too, because that one you have more of like the real sounding drums and like a cymbal in there, and it had like a guitar. There's a guitar in the instrumental too, so it's got more like real sounding instruments, I guess, as opposed to like soundboard sounding instruments, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Instrumentation that sounds more like it was created by a real instrument, as opposed to instrumentation that sounds like it could have just been created on a soundboard, mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to say. So yeah, that's kind of my, I don't know. Rager Boys with Young Thug's a song I enjoyed too on first pass. So
yeah, I mean, I just don't see it.
Yeah,
Kid Cudi is someone who rarely misses, and when he's on, he is really on. This just didn't really work for me.
Yeah.
And again, it's called Insano, so I'm kind of taking it all with a grain of salt. It is kind of incoherent, kind of doesn't really work sonically, but there are some good songs here and there. With some, actually, all of the features are pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought Wayne was good. I thought the X thing is really cool. Young Thug is good. Yachty's really good. I thought Rocky was actually pretty good. I don't honestly can't even remember the Travis Scott one, but
yeah, the features are good on this album.
Yeah,
the people bring it. So shall we play Blue Sky then?
Yeah, this is we'll play Blue Sky, which is, even though we just said the outro tracks are usually better than the song above, that is not the case on this record.
the second to last.
Yeah, the second to last song
is
better than the last. And we'll play. This is Blue Sky off of Kid Cudi's new album, Insano.
Are you happy? And I might think this is the problem. The things I thought I needed, please. Found my peace, so ain't no turning back. Oh, the days, the weeks, the time, it all seems to go. It's okay, I would say, relax in the moment, you know. Been living what I dream. Let's play. The sky is blue.
No pressure on me, walking, ain't no stressing, you see. They're saying what they're saying, I'm just saying, and no, what you think? Here's some messed up people talking. On my way, this blunt won't smoke itself.
Hey Vancouver, for fans of Ocean Alley, Flip Turn, and Still Woozy, alt rockers Juice are bringing their signature blend of rock, pop, R&B, and hip hop to the Biltmore Cabaret on February 3rd, with support from Hembry. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at admitone.com.
Nothing goes together better than live music and a beer. Or two. Or five. Wait a minute. An estimated 886,000 Canadians aged 15 and older abused or were dependent on alcohol in 2012. 1 in 7 Canadians aged 15 years and older experienced verbal, emotional, and physical abuse as a result of another person's drinking. Make sure a fun night out doesn't ruin everyone else's, or your own. If you see yourself or someone you know slightly off key, help everyone out and step in. After all, you want to be able to remember the show tomorrow morning.
And we back, and we back, and we back. For the last 10 minutes.
Yup, yup, yup. Anyways, outside of 21 Savage and Kid Cudi, there have been some other big, big artists who have dropped music.
Singles.
Most, probably the largest name to drop music, and also maybe the song that is worth talking about the most just because of the kind of song it is Ariana Grande's new single, Yes, comma, and question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Full-on dance song.
Yeah.
Another person who's seemingly doing a dance album. Mm-hmm. Perhaps. I really like this song. I mean, honestly, Ariana's probably the weakest part. I think the instrumentation is probably my favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
It's Max Martin and Ilya, and those dudes are wizards. So, but I'm curious what you think about the song and also the prospect of an Ariana Grande house/dance record.
Yeah. Yeah, the song, it's a good song for sure. I haven't listened to it super recently. So, not the fullest image of it in my head at the moment, but no, it's definitely a cool song. I remember feeling like the listening to it and kind of feeling like the, what it, like, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to be too smart, but like the drum pattern just kind of felt a little loose or something. I don't know. I remember having a feeling about something about the beat where it was like, it just kind of felt a little off at points, but cool song regardless. And I, as in terms of the prospect of that for an entire album, I think that's a sound that Ariana Grande can absolutely kill.
Mm-hmm.
And you know she's going to have all the resources in the world to help put together, help make it sound good. And
it's only a month away.
And she's going to sound great on it, too. March 8th. We know that for sure, so.
She's actually even given the title away.
Oh. March 8th, so yeah, a bit over a month. About 6 weeks.
I have to say, I mean, of all of the house, I mean, we already talked about this. I mean, I don't think anyone who has done a dance, well, Drake did a full-blown house album.
Yeah.
Like, full-blown house that is, like stuff that you would only hear in the dance club. Troye Sivan and Beyonce did more of like dance pop records. I don't think anyone's going to go as far as Drake went with mm-hmm. it. But I have loved Renaissance is unbelievable. And we have heaped laurels and laurels onto Something to Give Each Other. I would be super excited for, because I mean Ariana Grande is probably one of my favorite female pop sounds or artists of the last 10 years. Like, I loved Positions. I thought Positions was a, like, just a great rap. Like, I think I like almost every song on Positions. Positions is so fun. The record before then,
that was Thank You Next.
I didn't like Thank You Next, but I really liked Sweetener.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dangerous Woman was a giant. Like, Ariana Grande doesn't really miss.
No, yeah. All right, she's a nice example of a big top 40 pop artist who I think also has like really consistently good albums, like complete album that comes up with like complete albums as well. So, yeah, there's really nothing to be. For me, I just assume that will be a good album when it comes out.
Yeah,
because
I love that she's going that way too, man.
Yeah,
I mean, her sound is she's kind of found a really cool pocket in pop that she kind of commands and does. She kind of went from those I forgot that she was actually on like Disney Channel and all that, but
mm-hmm.
Wow. She went from those first few hits she had were like Love Me Harder and The Way, mm-hmm. and then she moved into like kind of her own sound. I'm excited that she's kind of transitioning. And maybe it's just, I find it hard to believe that you would drop one song that is so left field of the rest of your catalog that the rest of the album kind of brings it back. I expect everything else to be similar. It would make sense and it would be really cool. I think her fans would eat that up. Ariana Grande fans are pretty ravenous.
Yeah.
And they kind of devour everything. This song already has 76 million plays. The top song on 21 Savage's album has 38.
Mm-hmm.
And she only has 20 million more monthly listeners, which is a substantial amount. But
yeah. Also, you know that probably a lot of those Ariana streams are from all over the place,
yeah.
As opposed to being more concentrated, mm-hmm. which 21's would be.
Another album and single that I think is worth mentioning, and you actually said this, is Lyrical Lemonade's like fourth single now, maybe even their fifth. Their album All Is Yellow,
mm-hmm.
is coming out
this week.
It's this week or is it next week?
This week, the 26th.
Okay, I thought it was the 29th. Oh, okay, that would make sense. All right, well then
we have to talk. We've talked about all the singles kind of, so we have to mention.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting record.
It'll be cool.
We could, the track list is out.
Yeah.
And
the single for the Lyrical Lemonade single, by the way, is called
Fallout
featuring Gus Dapperton, Lil Yachty.
I don't even know who the last guy is. Someone's at the tail end and gets like 25 seconds of the song. I couldn't tell you who that is.
Apologies.
Is that Joey Badass?
It is Joey Badass.
Wow.
Well, I didn't really realize that was Joey.
No, and Joey Badass makes some really... Joey Badass has like some of the coolest like concept rap albums outside mm-hmm. of like Kendrick Lamar, but...
Yeah. Joey Badass is a very good
But
rapper.
That was Lyrical Lemonade's fifth single. So we know like 40% of the album now, which mm-hmm. is not something I'm always a fan of, honestly. I like the 1-2 and then maybe a third single the night before.
The one benefit, though, the one advantage that this album has versus like Charlie by Charlie Puth, which is also another album that had like six singles
in
a dozen tracks total, is that with this album, it's a collab album from just notable collaborators with Cole Bennett from years past. And so even if there's already been four or five singles, we can expect all the songs to feel pretty different because they're all going to have different voices on them. So I don't think this will be
14
songs. Okay. So I don't feel like it'll be there's less risk with coming out with so many singles and kind of giving a lot of the album away when like there's a Chief Keef song that we just haven't heard yet. And Lil Skies song that we haven't heard yet. And so
there's
on.
A solo Eminem song.
Oh, that'll be cool. Maybe, probably.
There is a Saw Baby Tizo touchdown song. That is going to be fire.
Mm-hmm.
No Twiz. That's a shame. There's a Lil B song, though. That's cool. Is that out? No?
No.
But Cole Bennett doesn't really make bad decisions, it feels like. that's an album I'll be excited for. No Kanye West again. I don't even know if that's ever going to come out.
That album's just a myth.
I mean, he does that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll come out like closer to summertime.
Yeah, that's going to be a completely different record by then, too.
Mm-hmm. Which is...
Ty Dolla $ign is going to be dropped somehow or
probably.
Something.
That would make sense.
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like he'll probably wait until May. Kanye over the summer is always really fun. I mean, maybe we shouldn't say that anymore, but...
It could be.
Any other records that are... what else? Anything else you know that's coming out this week?
Nah.
But we have Lyrical Lemonade, so we will have some... If we don't want to talk about it this...
I think it's better to give it...
8 days.
Yeah.
I agree. So we'll come up with something to discuss next week.
Maybe features.
Yeah, that's a conversation that would be worth having.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had a conversation really about that.
I think... I kind of feel like we have. I feel like I have a memory
of
that.
We talked about Don Toliver and kind of...
Yeah.
And kind of him and kind of how it leaves you kind of... We can really get into it then.
I think we talked about it in the context of like Don Toliver and Lil Baby.
Yeah, and how you expect the album because of the features.
Mm-hmm.
But we can really get into it and talk about how it, what like features and all that. That's a conversation that would be worth having. Besides that,
our work here is done.
Yeah.
So thank y'all for tuning in.
Shun.
For being here, listening to a couple songs. Listening to our voices for most of it. Stay tuned to the station, of course, for all the other great programming that CITR has to offer. And we will be back on the air next week. So talk to you all then.
Adieu.
Good night, Vietnam. Or whatever. Oh, no, the radio.
In the beginning, there was Thumb.
Something strange and funky condensing out of the primordial ooze. Then, underground house parties and backyard raves. Stuff of legends still whispered about in Los Angeles. And now, the space barn blasts off, and Thumpasaurus is ready to engage a new frontier in the Thumpiverse. Don't miss Thumpasaurus live at the Biltmore Cabaret, January 18th, presented by MRG Live. Head to admitone.com to get your tickets now. Yeah, take my pick.